praise the Lord.
Alaben a Dios.
I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. I suppose you've been here a while praising the Lord, so you should be all energized, right? Praise God. Oh boy, not too energetic. I want to talk to you today, this morning. Is it still morning? I want to talk to you this morning about time and eternity. I don't know how much you know about either one of them. From the spiritual perspective, not from a natural perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, we believe, now I am assuming that you believe the same as I do.
Amen.
Well, don't say amen yet. I haven't said what I believe.
Hallelujah.
I suppose that you believe that God is eternal, right?
Amen.
Right?
Okay.
This is going to represent eternity. Praise God. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Now, you believe in a God that has no beginning, right? You believe that?
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Tell me amen if you believe it. And if you really believe it, you have to be very energetic about it. Like, amen! Yeah, that's right. We're not dealing with passive Christians, right? So this God has no beginning. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that this God has no end? Do you believe that? No end. So the existence of eternity is in reality the presence of God. Did you understand what I said? God, eternity is not a place.
Amen.
Eternity is not somewhere out there in the blue, out behind Pluto, or out somewhere in the Milky Way. Eternity exists. Eternity exists. Why? Why does it exist? Because God is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, eternity is not a place. Now, you have believed that eternity is a place. You believe that eternity is this physical realm, this physical place. That as you become born again, you live your life, you die, you what? You go to heaven. Hallelujah. eternity, right, is synonymous with heaven.
Ang kapariyan niya mao ang langit.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hallelujah. So that means. That means that if eternity is not a place and it is a reality of God. Hallelujah. Then heaven exists because of an entity or a personality that we call God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Does this sound... Yeah, you know, if you can't say amen... Maybe you can say, oh me, or oh my, or oh boy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have to get this concept of God in our mind. Without this concept of God as an entity, as a personality, God is more or less a mythical creature. He is something that I cannot relate to. Something that I cannot define. And in order for God to be a reality to me, a reality to you, you must be able to define Him. Hallelujah. Now, as a human being living in the environment that I am living in, it's very difficult for me to define or to relate to a being that is called God. Hallelujah. And God, knowing that, decided or determined in the very beginning to bring God down into a form or in a fashion of which I would be able to relate to on a human level. And so God, in the plan and the purposes that was in His mind, allowed a man to be created that was called Jesus. Hallelujah. So I am able to relate to God because I can relate to Jesus the man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a scripture in Hebrews, I believe it is. And I believe it is in the 8th chapter. Somebody can probably correct me if I am wrong. Hallelujah. Yeah, no, it's in the 11th chapter. And it is in the 6th verse. It says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe. That isn't optional.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me? That isn't an optional provision. I do not know what the word must means in Filipino with you, but in the English, it is not something that is negotiable. He cannot be a figment of your imagination. Especially in the aspects of what it is that he is wanting to do with you in reference to humanity and eternity. Hallelujah. So it says that you and I must believe. We must believe that He is. That has to be settled unconditionally in your mind. And there are many ways that God solidifies that position of belief through experiences that you and I have in living in this human realm. Hallelujah. The first experience that we have is the experience of being born again. Hallelujah. You and I were once in ignorance. Concerning the existence of God. Hallelujah. We were totally without knowledge. We were born in darkness. We had no ability to comprehend the reality of this entity that was called God. Hallelujah. But somewhere along the line, God sent an angel to intervene in your life. Now, when I say an angel, I'm not talking about that creature with a white robe and a halo around its head and wings that flap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anybody believes that's what angels look like, they're in big trouble and they're going to be very disappointed. Hallelujah. We have been told a lot of fairy tales in the church. And we have believed those fairy tales. Because we have been ignorant of the Word of God. We have not gone to the Word of God to verify and to substantiate those little fairy tales that we have been being told about heaven, about God, and about the aspects of the angels of God. Hallelujah. And it's very simple to determine what an angel is. If you go into the word angels, it comes from a Greek word that means is angelos. Hallelujah. And the very simple definition of that word angelos is
konsepto nato kinahanglan mo magkrigo nga pinulungan ang Dios
is one that bears a message. And our first encounter with these angels these angels as messengers, sorry about that, is the graphic story of Daniel. Daniel wanted to have some information that God had. And he wanted to tap into the omniscience of God. Not only did he want to tap into the omniscience of God, but he wanted to tap into the omnipresence of God. He wanted to know what was going to happen to the people of God, not just at that particular time. But he wanted to know what was going to happen to the people at the end of time. So God sent him an angel. He sent him an angelos. He was sending him a messenger that was carrying a message from God to Daniel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when that angel appeared, or that messenger came to Daniel, he said simply to Daniel, "I am Gabriel, and I have come with a message from God." Hallelujah. So the angel takes on the nature of a messenger. Hallelujah. So anyone who is anointed of God with a particular word for a particular thing, a particular person, bringing you that message that is on God's heart for you, becomes the angelos of God. Hallelujah. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may have in some respect, one way or another, either big or small, may have been that messenger from God to somebody else. Hallelujah. 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 So when somebody came to you and they begin to testify to you about the blood of Jesus, and they begin to tell you that the love of God was constraining them to minister to you, hallelujah, you became one of the more fortunate people who had a visitation from God through man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that we should be given to hospitality. Why? Why should we be given to hospitality? Do you know why? Do you know what the Bible says? It says you must be given to hospitality because you may be entertaining angels unaware. Hallelujah. Now, if you think I probably just broke some of your big balloons. No wings. No flowing robes. It could be a man in tattered clothes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a story in the Bible, in the Revelation, where when John was lifted up into that realm of the Spirit, hallelujah, and as he was sent an agent to minister to him, hallelujah, and his glory was so great. The effervescence of God was radiating off of his being. It was so great and so tremendous that John fell down to worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the man and the entity, this personality, says, "No, no. Do not worship me." He said, "I am one as of the fellow prophets, your servant, a man." Hallelujah. So we have John showing us an angel man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is God giving us this information? Why is it that God puts it into the Bible? Why is it that God preserves the integrity of it for thousands and thousands and thousands of years? Hallelujah. Because God wants us to know that there is something in God's heart that concerns man, and that man is to come to a place of infinite glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man was not created to be less than immortal or less than what it is that God has put within him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now the devil wants you to believe that what you see around you is the reality of your life. The devil wants you to believe the totality of the world that is yours is what you are able to grasp hold of in a natural arena. Hallelujah. We are raised in a certain environment under the oppressive hand of the prince of the power of this air. Hallelujah. And the totality of our environment is working to keep us into subjection to that thought of reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is God's responsibility to bring us into a greater sense of reality than the reality in which we are born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that God is infallible? In infallible means he cannot. He cannot make a mistake.
Dili gayon siya mga maisun mahimong masayop ang Dios.
Huh? Hallelujah. Then what is the explanation of Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3?
Ma'am, kay dili makamasayop ang Dios may solusyon may puti pasapot sa Genesis chapter 1, Dios of Grace.
He created man in a specific way, in a specific place, and gave him a specific authority. But by chapter 3, it seems as though God had lost the fight. God had lost the battle. Hallelujah. That is, if we interpret it from a human perspective. But God wants us to know something. Number one, God did not make a mistake. Number two, there was something in what was happening that God wanted to demonstrate a reality of what it was that man would have to do in order to do what God wanted him to be. Hello? Hallelujah. The first thing that we have to understand about man, man was not created to be human. Hallelujah. Man was created to be divine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go back to this thought of the eternity. Hallelujah. He has no beginning. He has no end. Hallelujah. But you call him Alpha. Do you call him Alpha? What is Alpha? Are you sure? Now you got a problem. You have a theological problem. You call him no beginning God. And now he has a beginning. Something's wrong. Okay, that's one thing. You also call him Omega. Now I got a double problem. You say he has no end, but now you're telling me he has an end. Because Alpha means the finish, the end. Omega, yes. Hallelujah. So what is it that we are talking about? Hallelujah. What is it that we are talking about? We're not talking about the God of eternity. What we are talking about is the God of time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Hallelujah. God had no name prior to the words that are translated in Genesis 1 is Elohim. But now he has a name that is called Alpha. Which means beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. You need a scripture. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 1 says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. So it was the beginning of God in the element of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 1 so we don't have any mistake. John chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So God moved in the midst of eternity. To establish a dispensation or an element called time. Hallelujah. And that element of time has what we call Omega. It means finished. It means end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So whenever you are referring to the Alpha and Omega, you are speaking a word of prophecy concerning God's intent for man in the aspect or the element of time. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no other reason why an eternal God who has no reason for time whatsoever to create an element that is called time that has a beginning and it has an end. Hallelujah. And that purpose is stated in Genesis chapter 1, verse
1.
And I will go beyond, I will go further to say that the whole plan and purposes of God
katuyuan sa Dios
is written in the first five books of Genesis.
Nasulat din siya sa primerong lima ka mga libro niya sa Genesis.
Hallelujah. If you really get ambitious, spiritually ambitious, then you need to get down to fasting and praying. And with God's help, dig into these chapters in Genesis. And ask God to reveal to you the truth of the matter that we call creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And let us look at a few verses here. Hallelujah. Now, the woman is always referred to as a church. Hallelujah. When you get down at to the end of the story in Revelation, Revelation 12 to be exact, you see the three dispensations or the three different developments of the church in the story of the wonder that was making itself known in heaven. Hallelujah. In that story, you can write it down in your notes and go and read it. But in Revelation, it refers to the church as the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. And whether you are male or female, if you are in this segment of what the Bible calls the bride, you are part of that woman church. Hallelujah. And it says in that book concerning this woman that was being represented as the bride, it's very important. It says that she made herself ready. Hallelujah.
Find me that scripture, will you please? Find me that scripture, if you would, please.
It said that she made herself ready. It doesn't say that somebody else made her ready. It does not say that God came down and made her ready. What's that? Revelation 19:7. I want you to read it in your Bibles. Hallelujah.
Ipanayag si Lord BCP. Maghuyaw o paghibay kita o daigon nato ang inyong pagkagamhanan kaniyabot na ang panahon sa kasal sa nating karnero o andam na iyang pangatawuno.
What does it say?
Andam na. Ready.
Individually responsible for doing whatever was necessary for her to do to be ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have just destroyed one of the church myths.
Mao lang akong gustong bukagon, kung sa kini mo na huna karon sa mga kanabang hakahaka lang nasa na.
Hallelujah.
Iglesia.
And that misses once saved, always saved. Quite frankly, the Protestant church, in particular the Baptist church of which I was born in, got that revelation from the Catholics. Hallelujah. But every Protestant religion has the same context of theology. We do not believe as Protestants in denominational settings that we are responsible for being perfect. We believe that we, God will in some way or some manner, in some aspect, make allowance for our imperfection. If we have a problem with anger, now you Filipinos, you don't get mad, right?
No.
Hallelujah. We believe that being angry is all right. We also believe that anger is sometimes justified. But most of all, we believe because we are human that anger is something that we just have to live with. Have you ever used the excuse, well, I'm not perfect? Have you used this as well, I'm just human? Have you ever used that excuse?
Huh?
Especially if you've been caught with your hand in the cookie jar. And you know you're wrong, and yet you have this spirit of pride. Not just anger now. One thing leads to another thing. You've been caught in your anger with your hand in the cookie jar, but you do not want to recognize or acknowledge the fact that you were wrong. So you and I will make an excuse for our wrongness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, be ye perfect. And I suggest you go into your Bible, you pick that word perfect, and you look it up in the Greek lexicon. Hallelujah. To see what it means. But for those of you who do not have that book or that capability, I suggest you read the rest of the book, the rest of the verse. Hallelujah. Because It says, be ye perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. So, brethren, perfection is something that God is looking for. Not only is perfection something God is looking for, but perfection is something that God expects. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We say that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not too many amens. You just want to be in the proximity of Jesus Christ. You don't really want to follow Him. Hallelujah. Paul said to Timothy, follow me. As what? As I follow Christ. So Paul must have been teaching Timothy how to be perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the phraseology of those sentence structures imply a method of walking. So, as brother walks, take a step, stop, I put my step in his footstep, and his footstep, his footstep, his footstep, his footstep, following him exactly as he is walking. Hallelujah. So, if I am a disciple of God, if I am a disciple of Christ, then I must walk even as Christ walked. Hallelujah. Do you remember what he said to the disciples? The mother, I believe somebody covered that recently. I think Brother Mark taught on it somewhere. But the mother of James and John came to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, I would that my sons could sit one on your right hand, one on your left hand. Long story short, Jesus said, are you able to drink of my cup? Hallelujah. What did he mean? What did he mean? What cup was he to drink? What cup?
Suffering.
Suffering for a particular reason. Suffering for a particular purpose. Hallelujah. And that purpose was demonstrated in the reality of what happened when he was driven into the wilderness. Unless there be a misunderstanding about that driving, the context of that story indicates and designates that he was driven not by the devil but by God to meet the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All
right. Praise God. So there is this position, this place of discipleship. I do not believe in the church rendition of discipleship. There was a big move in the 60s and in the 70s that went on into the early 80s.
Hallelujah.
Many of the mainline denominational teachers came up with this doctrine of discipleship. And it was a terminology that they stole from heaven. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It was a word that they stole from God. So a man would pick out a number of young people to be his disciples. And he would overshadow them. And he would correct them. And he would minister to them. Day in, day out. Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, you had a bunch of little robots that were like him. Hallelujah. Paul said to Timothy, follow me as. Follow me as I follow Christ. That means that Timothy had to determine what was Christ and what wasn't Christ. Hallelujah. He had a responsibility to take what he was seeing, to take what he was hearing, get down before God, and demand of God a ratification and a verification that what he had was God. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I can come in here and tell you all these wonderful stories. Hallelujah. But you have a responsibility. You have not only a responsibility, you have an obligation to know the essence of life and the essence and the reality of God for you in the story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we have this this position, this place, God calling us to a position of perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and we know in the essence of it, it is both male and female. Let us go back to Genesis. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Going back to Genesis. Hallelujah. As a builder, for many, many years, I know how important the foundation is to a building. I did not make my living preaching. Hello? Did you hear what I said? I did not make my living preaching.
Wala niya himuang kinabuhi ang iyahang iwali.
I did not retire from manual labor until I was 63 years of age. Hallelujah. And I still find myself having to work.
Hallelujah.
Preaching is not a profession. Preaching is a divine appointment. It's not a profession. It's not something by which you are to make your living off of. I don't do what I do to make money. I do what I do because I love God. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Some of you want to be preachers to make a living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you want to. Some of you want to be in that position of being a minister because of the glory of that position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, preaching is something that just comes because of the love of God.
Amen.
It makes no difference what you have in your pocket. It makes no difference what you have in your cupboard. Hallelujah. It makes no difference if you have the motorcycle or the car out there in the garage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was one of the patriarchs said, "Naked came I into the world." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "And naked shall I return unto God." Hallelujah. We're talking about that position of physical existence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to get into a higher realm of living. Hallelujah. I want to get into that position of relationship with a living God. That I can be even as Jesus was at the well in Samaria. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The belly of the disciples were making a demand upon them. Hallelujah. It was saying, "Feed me, I'm hungry." Hallelujah. But Jesus had his mind set on a higher place. He did not come to Samaria to eat at the restaurant. He did not come there to ease himself in his physical being. Hallelujah. He came because he had a divine appointment. Hallelujah. The disciples were so unaware of the business of God. Hallelujah. Do you remember what he told his disciples? When he was on his way to Jerusalem, they wanted to go a different way. Hallelujah. But Jesus had a higher word, brother. He had a pure position of hearing. Listen. Hallelujah. He said, I must need to go through Samaria. Because God had put on his calendar. Hallelujah. He had put on his calendar an appointment with a woman at a well. Hallelujah. He had to be there at a prescribed time. Hallelujah. He could not be late. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then when they got there, he sent his disciples off to eat. Hallelujah. But he remained until this woman came to draw her water. Hallelujah. And when it was all said and done, his disciples came back. And they wanted to give him food. And he wasn't hungry anymore. Why? Hallelujah. Because he was eating spiritual energy. He was eating spiritual food. A man, eating flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Human being. Hallelujah. Had the vitality of energy now in his being. Hallelujah. And his disciples begin to murmur. Oh, we had to go off and we had to buy this food. And we really had to find a place to buy it. And we had to get it. And now we're bringing it back to you. And you don't even want to eat it now. What's the matter with you? Hallelujah. Sounds like Christians, doesn't it? Sounds like church, doesn't it? Huh? Mumble and grumble and complain. Negative, 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 negative. Jesus just looked at them. I have meat to eat. I have meat to eat that you do not know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, there is a calling and an election upon us. There is a position that God wants to lift us up to. There is a state of being that is out there in front of each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That has your name written upon it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when God began to move in the beginning of time, when he created Adam and Eve, he created them for a specific reason. He created them for a specific purpose. And the story of Adam and Eve at the beginning of time is a story of Adam and Eve at the end of time. But it's not about Adam and Eve. It's a story about Christ in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is about a story about man created a little lower than the angel, subjected to the elements of his flesh and the environment of his existence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be lifted up into a place of exaltation that is even above the angel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the story of Adam and Eve. This is the story of the lives of people who lived in the Old Testament. A man called Enoch. Human being. Flesh and blood. He had a wife, brother. Do you hear me?
Amen.
He had a wife. He had children. That means he had
Hallelujah. Trouble, 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 trouble. Hallelujah. He had to put food on the table. There was nothing about Enoch that was different than any other human being that has lived before him or after him. Except for one thing. In his heart. Hallelujah. In his heart. There was something that wanted to know God. Something in his being. A reality in his mind. Hallelujah. You know, as you look at the lives, now this is my speculation. But I believe it's a revelation from God. As you look at the timelines of Enoch's life, and the timeline of Adam's life, and all the other saints that were living at that particular time, but in particular the timeline of Adam's life. Hallelujah. Do you know that Adam lived right up until about the last quarter of Enoch's life? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
So, Grandpa Adam, what do you think he was doing with his grandchildren? Hallelujah. What do you think he was doing with his grandchildren? He would talk to this little one about God, and he would talk to this one about God, and he would talk to this one about God, and he would talk to this one and this one and this one and this one about God. Hallelujah. And when one of them responded, what do you think he did? Hallelujah. What do you think he did? Well, I can tell you what he did. Because I'm a grandpa. Hallelujah. When they ask me something about God, I begin to tell them everything I can force into their little brain. Hallelujah. But you have to remember something. Adam walked with God in the beginning. God came down in the cool of the evening to walk with Adam. Hallelujah. As he was walking with Adam, what do you think God and Adam were talking about? Hallelujah. You think they were talking about the weather? You think they were talking about something that happened in the garden that day over yonder? Huh? Hallelujah. Absolutely not. God already knew. Hallelujah. I believe that God was sharing with Adam the intimate secrets of Godness. I believe that he was telling Adam, God, I have made you in a peculiar way. I have given you certain rights and certain positions of authority. Hallelujah. I have instilled within you something that is far beyond what your imagination can possibly comprehend. You want to know the power that Adam had? Hallelujah. One day God decided to show Adam what of the power that was inside of him. So he said to Adam, come. He said, come son, I want you to walk with me today. And he took him to a certain place. And he commanded the animals now to come before Adam. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine this, brother?
Yeah.
Let your mind work on it. Hallelujah. So this beast, this no-name beast, comes strutting up before Adam. It says that God stepped back to see what Adam would call him. Name means nature.
Amen.
You of all people know that.
Amen.
When you name a child, it has a nature. There is something in that name that you want to see developed in that child. Hallelujah. So when you name your children, you have to be very, very, very careful. You can't particularly name them after their mothers or their grandmothers or their fathers or their grandfathers. Not if you're a blood-bought Christian. Hallelujah. Because as a Christian, the progeny that comes forth out of you has a destiny in God, not in this human role, not in your human environment, but they are being born as children of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Adam looked at that beast. And he looked inside the character and the nature of that beast. And he said, "Lion!" What happened? The nature of the beast was formed and created. Hallelujah. Adam don't know what lion means. Adam has never seen a lion. Hallelujah. He can't go to the internet and type in lion. Hallelujah. This is the man that was walking and talking with God. Do you hear me? Walking and talking with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God was telling him of the innermost things of his heart. Saying, you know, Adam, I had a council in heaven with my Godhead. And we had determined that we would make man a man such as you are, Adam. A man in our image. And in the faces of that image, I'm going to break forth my likeness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Has God changed his mind? Has what God wanted in the beginning, is it any different now? Hallelujah. I don't think so. But the devil has hid the revelation of God. He has hid it in denominational doctrine. Hallelujah. He has divided the segments of the church up as you would divide a cake. Hallelujah. 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 He has worked on humanity to produce and to make it desire the things on a horizontal level. Hallelujah. And like Samson, hallelujah, that was captured
captured by the lust of his flesh. Do you hear me? Samson is a type of the church. He was anointed to tear down the gates of hell. Hallelujah. But his flesh, and the lust of that flesh for the harlotry of the world, hallelujah, brought him into a place to where he began to reveal the secrets of his strength. Hallelujah. You know, it says that the hair is a covering. And when Delilah shaved the man's head, it says that he rose up as in times past. Hallelujah. And he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed. Hallelujah. And the Philistines came in. And it wasn't just the Philistines. It was the Lord of the Philistines that came in. The devil and his compatriots, those fallen angels that left their first estate, they have come in to capture the church. Hallelujah. And what did they do? They put his eyes out. The devil has killed the spirit of discernment. He has anathematized us from the spirit of condemnation. Hallelujah. And we think we can go out here and get in the bed of adultery or in the bed of fornication. Hallelujah. Not just in the natural sense, but also in the natural sense. Hallelujah. And in some way, somehow, God is going to overlook it. Hallelujah. The Bible says that adulterers and fornicators will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Brother, and I'm not talking about just physical, fleshly fornication. I'm talking about cohabiting with the world. Hallelujah. If you dress like the world, if you smell like the world, if you listen to the world, hallelujah, you are the world. Hallelujah. The Bible says that friendship with the world is an enmity against God. Hallelujah. When the word enmity means totally in opposition and in conflict with each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read you something. As a Christian who is following after the word of perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot cohabit with the world. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. These are not my words. These are the words of Paul as he was ministering to the church of Rome. Hallelujah. It says to be carnally minded, verse 6, chapter 8. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Roma 8, versículo 6. Ang pag-unaw na kanunay sa mga butang katawhanon, mutak po sa kamatayon. At ang pag-unaw na kanunay sa mga butang espirituhanon, mutak po sa kinabuhi o kalinaw.
Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be.
Hallelujah.
Go down to verse 12. I'm not finished yet there. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, what? Ye shall live.
Tungod ni Ana, mga igsoon, obligado kita sa pagkinabuhi, dili sumala sa tawhanong kinaiya, kay kung magkinabuhi ka mo, kung nagbuhan sa tawhanong kinaiya, mamatay kayo ka mo. Apan mabuhi kayo ka mo kung pinaagi sa Espiritu, pagkiminyo ang tawhanong binuhatan.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I want you to tell me in verse 13 what your word for mortify is. What does it mean?
Kill.
Like how?
Kill.
Just like kill. Cut off. Yeah, I like that. Kill. It means to kill. Hallelujah. Brethren, I'm not talking to you about a denominational doctrine. I am not giving you that which man has contrived. I am telling you the unadulterated truth of how it is that God looks at us. And when he looks at us, what he expects to see. Hallelujah. 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 Now I want to go down to verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Espiritu maghihatag sa Diyos kaninyo, dili magulipon kaninyo aron kamumahadlok. Ang mga Espiritu maghimuhinon kaninyo ng mga anak sa Diyos. Tungod ni ini, makasangpit na kita sa Diyos pinaagi sa Panginoon. Amahan, amahan ko.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so that we what? Suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is right. Magigihutan ng Espiritu sa akong Espiritu, anong pagpatuon niya kita mga anak sa Diyos.
Amen.
Kung kayo mga anak magitan niya, madawat na po ang mga panalangin na ipagalan Dios o palawag nato dili uban ka Kristo. Kay kun makigambit kita sa iyang mga pag-atos, makaambit usab kita sa iyang himaya.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Unfortunately,
I
do not believe that we are taking the Word of God seriously.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you a dream. Was it a dream or was it a vision? I don't remember.
I
believe it was a dream I had the first night or two that I was here in the Philippines. And I believe it has to do with this congregation. And I was praying about it, about coming here, about the word that God would give me. And by the way, God doesn't give me a prelude of the word. When I walk into your door, I have no word. Hallelujah. That's not the way that God operates with me. But as I was coming up here, God began to minister time and eternity to me. And all of it deals with righteousness, perfection, being not under the spirit of condemnation. But sometimes the philosophy of religion and emphasizes us to the aspect of condemnation. And oftentimes we will even use the scriptures to justify what it is that we are doing that is wrong. And I had a dream. And in the dream, I was in a bathroom. Now, in dreams, for me, bathroom is always indicative of sanctification. It's a place you go to get yourself clean. And in this particular bathroom, there was a tile floor. And in the midst of the tile floor, there was this big bathtub. And the tub was filled with water. And there was somebody in the tub. But they were not utilizing the water for the purpose for which they were there for. They were more in a relaxed state of being. And the water was running up and running over. And it was doing a strange thing because it just wasn't running and spreading out on the floor. It was eating a trench all around the tub, going down through the tile, eroding the tile, and the trench was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And I said to one of my grandchildren that was with me at that particular point,
I said to them, why don't you get into the tub? And he said to me, Grandpa, if I get into that tub, the whole thing is likely to collapse. And as I begin to pray about it, God began to give me a revelation. And the revelation is in the aspect, if you do not allow the word to work within you, the sense and the necessity to change. At the end of the day, you are going to be a loser. What the dream is saying to me personally is that there is an abundance of a word that is coming to you as a people. But it is not in the essence or in the quality of the word that there is a lack. It is in the aspect of not allowing the word to do what it needs to do with regards to your character. I want the scripture that talks about a word, but you deny the power of it. Huh? It was Paul. Huh? Yes. Does somebody have it? Philippines what? Where is it?
In Romans.
We need that scripture.
He's having a form of godliness.
Yes. Yes.
2 Timothy 3:5.
Amen.
3:5. Sikat Timoteo. Sikat Tuhan Timoteo 3:5.
2 Timothy 3:5. Let us start at verse 1.
Versículo 1.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Stop, read those and stop right there. I have something I want to say.
Ang mga tao magunaw na lamang sa ilang kagalingon o sa kwarta. Hambugiron sila, mapahitaton, pugal-pugalon, masupilon sa ilang mga ginikanan, hindi papasalamaton o dilidyoson. Wala sila'y kalooy, wala'y puangod, tigbutang-butang, mapatuyangon, bangis, madilumtanon sa maayo, mabudhiyon, mapasagaron o garbuso kaayo. Palabihon nilang kahilayan kaysa Diyos.
Now, if you were just to read those first five verses, you would think that Paul is addressing the world.
Uh-huh.
But Paul is not addressing the world.
Pero kini nga mga istorya, kini nga mga bersikulo ng Isuhon, wala kini siya nagsulti ngadto sa gawas sa simbahan.
Paul is addressing the church.
Ang iyang isulti ang iyang kayo sa iglesia. Kini sa ato para kayo.
And not only is he addressing the church.
Dila kay mo nga dihata kini niya sa simbahan.
At the time of Timothy.
Sa panahon ni Timoteo.
But he is also addressing the church in this hour. And the next verse identifies the aspect of that church.
It says
having a form of godliness. He's not talking about the heathen. There is no form of godliness concerning sin and heathens participating in sin. He is dealing with the church. He is dealing with the church. And he says that having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we have an individual responsibility. If you profess to have the blood of Jesus Christ, and you believe that you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you find yourself in a position of transgression. It says, from such turn away. It's an individual responsibility. If my eyes wander to something that is pornographic,
kung ang atong mga mata na padiapon pagtan-aw diya sa mga hilas nga mga talan-aw,
I have a responsibility to turn myself away from it.
Aduna ko yung responsibilidad nga di na ko ikatan-awon.
If my ear has a tendency to listen to gossip or to move in a manner that is contrary to righteousness, I have a responsibility to plug it. If my body has a tendency to move or to be stimulated in a fashion or a form that it should not be, I have a responsibility to move up beyond and above that position of temptation. Hello? Listen to me. And you know something, marriage does not give us the right to be unrighteous. Did you hear me?
Amen, amen.
Sometimes we believe that being married gives us the right to be unrighteous. And some of the things that we participate in and perpetrate in marriage are unclean. Did you hear me? It's unclean.
Dili mao, no? Sayop siya kapagi.
There are some things that are done in marriage that animals don't even do. And being married does not give you the right to participate in it. It says, from such turn away. Brother, we're living in a very serious time. And many of you are sitting under a very particular word. And we are living in a time and under such a word. That God is not going to tolerate some of the things that we are involved in. Not necessarily because of the time, but because of the word. The Bible says that we are to be holy, even as our Father in heaven is. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.